Don't ever study English. Listening comprehension tape.
Tape 2. A day in the life of a college student. Situation 1. Waking up late. Charles and Mike are roommates in a college dormitory.
Mike, don't you have a class at noon?
Huh?
I said it's 11:42 and you have a history class at 12.
What? 11:42? Why didn't you wake me up earlier?
Because I'm not your mother. And because, if you must know, I had an English literature class until 11.
Crawling out of bed.
Yeah, whatever. It's my fault anyway. I shouldn't be out drinking till 3 a.m. when I have a class the next morning.
Oh, you finally figured that out, huh? By the way, that's exactly what you said last Thursday morning when you got up late. You're hopeless.
I thought we decided that you weren't my mother. Are you finished with your lecture?
Yes, and you are going to be late for yours if you're not careful. It's already 11:53.
11:53? Quit talking to me or I'll never get ready. Have you seen my American history textbook? I asked you a question.
I thought you told me to quit talking to you. Something about making you late?
Okay, I'm sorry. Where's the book?
It's right over there on your desk.
Grabbing the book and running for the door.
You bastard.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Situation 2. A history lecture. Sitting down in the back of the lecture hall.
I thought for sure I'd be late.
Hey, Mike. You are late, but so is Professor Clark. He's getting old. Maybe he forgot about class today.
We should be so lucky. No, I'm just happy that he's later than me. I was really worried.
Oh, here he comes.
Entering from the front of the room and walking up to the podium.
Good morning, class. Or should I say, good afternoon. 12 o'clock classes always confuse me. In any case, let's begin today's lecture. Today I want to speak about the American Civil War, which I am assuming all of you read about last week in the book by Huntington. The Civil War can be analyzed in many ways, but today I want to discuss it as a result of economics. The Northern United States industrialized rather early, and so had little need for slave labor in their society. The Southern states, on the other hand, had an economy based on agriculture, particularly cotton. This caused a much higher demand for slaves to supply manual labor in the fields. Eventually, this fundamental difference in economic structures led to a difference in ideology. And, as ideological differences often do, this led to a conflict which eventually resulted in war. In this way, the Civil War is not unlike the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union, which was also largely caused by differing economic systems.
Situation 3. Brunch. Class ends and Sarah and Mike walk out of the building.
Mike, would you like to have lunch?
I'd love to, but it's actually brunch for me. I woke up late and haven't eaten anything.
Sure, brunch is good too. I know a place that serves breakfast all day, and they have great sandwiches too. I already had breakfast.
Great, I can have some pancakes and you get whatever you want. I just can't start the day with a sandwich.
Sarah and Mike walk across campus to a restaurant.
Here it is. What do you think?
It looks good, but I'll have to try the food before I really tell you what I think.
Fair enough.
How many?
Just two.
Please sit anywhere you'd like.
Sarah and Mike go sit down.
Can I get you something to start?
Do you have decaf coffee?
We sure do.
I'd like a cup of decaf and some water, please.
Could I get an orange juice?
One decaf and one OJ.
And don't forget the water.
Oh, yeah, and water.
The waiter returns with the drinks.
Are you ready to order?
Yes, I'd like the blueberry pancakes with a side order of 2 eggs over easy And some bacon, extra crispy.
And I'll have a turkey sandwich on wheat bread. No mayonnaise, please.
The sandwich comes with your choice of French fries or salad. Which one would you like?
Salad, please. And could you put the dressing on the side?
Of course. That will just be a minute.
Situation 4. Back in the dorm room.
Did you make it to class on time?
No, but neither did the professor, so it was no problem. Maybe he was out drinking last night, too.
I doubt it. But at least you didn't get in trouble. You have class even earlier tomorrow morning. I hope you aren't going out again tonight.
We'll see. Besides, you don't need to worry about me. My grades are fine.
That's true, but I still worry.
Why?
Because when you wake up late or forget something or whatever, you always yell at me.
Sorry, it's just that I am not used to living away from home. I am only a freshman, and this is the first time I haven't had my parents to wake me up, make me breakfast, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I remember how it was. I mean, I'm only a junior, but it seems like I've been away from home forever. Still, during my first year of college, I was just like you. It just takes a while to get used to managing your own time. You'll be doing it in no time.
I sure hope so. This is no way to live.
You say that every day, and then go out every night.
That's true. In fact, Sarah invited me to a party tonight at her sorority.
A sorority party, huh? Now that's different. Do you think, I could join you?
I'll see what I can do.
Situation 5. A telephone conversation. Mike calls Sarah on the phone.
Hello, may I speak with Sarah?
May I ask who's calling?
It's Mike Watson, from her U.S. history class.
Okay, just a second. I'll get her.
Sarah picks up the phone.
Hello?
Hi, Sarah. It's Mike.
Didn't we just see each other? You must really like me.
You know I do, but that's not why I called. You know my roommate, Charles? Well, he wants to come with me to the party tonight.
Charles? Isn't he kind of a bookworm? Why does he want to come to the party?
Yeah, he does study a lot, but he's not a bad guy. And there will be so many girls tonight, maybe even he can get lucky.
I wouldn't bet on it. But yes, I'll put his name on the guest list. How do you spell his last name?
M-A-L.
Cutting Mike off.
Wait. Let me get a pen and paper. What was that again?
His last name is spelled M-A-L-I-Z-E-W-S-K-I.
Got it. Are you guys coming together?
Yeah. Should we bring anything?
No, we have that all taken care of. But be sure to dress nicely. It's a semi-formal event.
Don't worry. We'll both be in suits.
And ties, right?
Right. Although Charles' tie might be a clip-on.
Oh, you are so bad. I'll see you at 7. Don't be late.
Okay, 7 o'clock. I'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Situation 6. Buying a shirt.
Charles, you're on the list for tonight, but we have to wear suits.
No problem. I've got plenty of suits.
I know, but I don't. I only have one, and it's not the greatest. Still, it'll pass. The real problem is I have no shirt or tie.
I've got plenty of those, too.
I know, Charles. But you're 5'7", and I'm 6'2". I hardly think I'll be wearing any of your clothes.
I see what you mean. But you could borrow one of my ties, right?
True, but that still leaves me shirtless. I've got to go get one.
Mike goes outside, catches a taxi, and heads for a local men's clothing store.
May I help you find something?
Please, I need a dress shirt for tonight.
Did you have any particular style in mind?
No, just something plain. What do you have in a white Oxford cloth with button-down collars?
We have a very nice shirt from Ralph Lauren, but it has the polo mark on it. Is that okay?
Fine.
What size are you?
I'm not sure. My mom buys all my clothes. But I think I'm about a 16-inch neck and 33-inch sleeve. Does that sound about right?
Probably for the neck, but you're pretty tall. Let's try a 35-inch sleeve.
You're the pro. Whatever you say.
Situation 7. In a taxi.
Where to, pal?
To Carleton College, please. Do you know where Elliot House is?
Elliot's house? I thought you wanted to go to Carleton.
I do, and it's not Elliot's house, it's Elliot House. That's the name of my dormitory.
Oh, why didn't you say so? And no, I don't know where it is.
That's all right. Just go to the college, and I'll give you directions from there.
You got it.
They arrive at the front gate of the college.
We're here. Now where to?
Make a right turn at the gate, then go down two streets and take a left.
Will that be a left on Broadway?
Yes, Elliot House is at 357 Broadway.
Good for Elliot House, but Broadway is a one-way street. I can only turn right.
Whoops, sorry about that. I don't have a car, and so I never pay attention to which streets are one-way.
Don't worry about it, kid. I know a shortcut anyway. I'll take the first left instead of the second, and then go around the back of your dorm.
Great. It's a good thing you know the streets around here better than I do.
That's my job. I get paid to know these streets. Where are you from? Not from around here, I guess.
No, I'm just here for school. I'm originally from Delaware.
Nice state, Delaware. Well, here we are. That'll be $7.50.
Here's 9. Keep the change.
Thanks.
No, thank you.
Situation 8. Charles's English class. After Mike leaves, Charles goes off to his second English literature class of the day. He arrives early, takes his seat, and waits for the professor to begin.
Good afternoon, class. Today we are going to discuss the reasons for Shakespeare's near universal acceptance and popularity the world over. It is not that English literature is superior to the literatures of other countries, or that Shakespeare was a better writer than other authors. Although he was, of course, a great writer. Still, I believe it is the universality of his themes and stories which make him great. Almost anyone from any country at any time in history can identify with these themes. For all people in all times experienced love, hatred, jealousy, and greed. Everyone at one time or another has questioned the meaning of existence, or wanted to take revenge on an enemy. Yes, class, it is these subjects and questions which transcend time and place that make Shakespeare not only popular, but also great.
Situation 9. Getting ready for the party. Mike comes out of the bathroom.
Damn, I cut myself shaving.
No problem, just put some toilet paper on it.
I know that, but I'm going to have a big scab on my neck all through the party.
No one will notice it.
Why not?
Because of that big pimple you have on your chin. They'll all be too busy staring at that to notice a little cut on your neck.
Thanks a lot. If I keep talking to you, I'll be too embarrassed to go to this party at all. And I'm the one who got you invited. You owe me.
Sorry, I was just trying to help. Here, let me get you that tie.
That's more like it. Now you're making yourself useful.
Do you like stripes or solids?
Give me a striped one. My shirt is solid white. I don't want to look too plain.
Good thinking. You want a matching handkerchief?
God, no. Charles, this is only a semi-formal occasion. Don't get too fancy.
I know, but when I dress up, I like to go all out.
Situation 10. Calling for directions. Mike calls Sarah's sorority to get directions to the party.
Hello, may I speak with Sarah, please?
Sarah's not here. Can I take a message?
No, no message. I was just calling for directions to the party tonight. Do you know where it is?
Sure, I'm going too. It's in the Grand Ballroom of the Hyatt Hotel.
And what's the best way to get there from school?
Will you be driving?
Well, I won't, but my friend Bill has a car, and my roommate and I will be going with him.
Okay, it's really easy. Just go straight down Main Street, heading toward downtown. Then turn right on Brattle Street. You know where Brattle is, right?
Yeah, isn't there a Gap clothing store on the corner?
Right, and from there, just go down about 4 blocks, and the Hyatt is on the corner of Brattle and Kearney Streets. And the Grand Ballroom is on the second floor. Did you get all that?
Got it.
Anything else I should know?
No, just be there a little early or all the good food will be gone.
Okay, we'll be there at 8 o'clock sharp.
Fine, but the party starts at 7.
That's right, I forgot. We'll be there no later than 7:15, okay?
Great, see you then.
See you then, bye.
Situation 11. Mike introduces Charles to Bill. Bill arrives at the dormitory to drive Mike and Charles to the party. He knocks on their door.
Who is it?
It's Bill. Is Mike in?
Yeah, Bill, I'm right here. Come on in.
Bill comes into the room.
Bill, how are you? I'd like you to meet my roommate, Charles.
Reaching out to shake Charles's hand.
Nice to meet you, Charles. My name's Bill Rodriguez.
Hi, my name's Charles Malazuski. Nice to meet you, too.
What year are you, Charles?
I'm a junior. How about you?
I'm a freshman. Mike and I entered together. What's your major?
I'm majoring in English literature. And you?
Engineering, even though I'm terrible at math and science.
I'm just the opposite. Math and science are easy for me, but I really like English Lit. But I'm really not very good at it.
Well, you can't be good at everything.
I guess not.
Are you girls done chatting yet? We're going to be late.
Very funny. And don't worry, it's only 6:20. We've got plenty of time. You just keep getting ready. I'm enjoying talking to Charles. So, Charles, where are you from?
Delaware. Have you ever been there?
Sure. I'm from Pennsylvania. But my grandparents live in Delaware. I go there every summer. It's great.
Where in Pennsylvania are you from?
A little town outside of Philadelphia. You've probably never heard of it.
Probably not. But I do know Philadelphia.
Charles, everyone knows Philadelphia. Let's get going.
You're right. It's always good to arrive a bit early. Let's go.
Situation 12. Driving to the hotel. Mike, Charles, and Bill are all in Bill's car.
What's the best way to get there?
Looking in his pockets for the directions.
I wrote down the directions, but I can't seem to find them. Anyway, I think I remember. It's at the Hyatt. Do you know how to get there?
No.
Charles, do you?
No.
That's all right. I think I remember. Take a left here and get on Main Street.
Okay.
Bill turns left.
And which way should I turn on Main Street?
Towards downtown.
That would be another left turn, right?
Right.
Do you mean make a right turn, or that a left turn is correct?
A left turn is correct.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure. What I'm not sure about is where to turn after that. It was either on Brattle or Berry Street.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember. The Hyatt is on the corner of Brattle and Kearney.
That sounds right. So that means a right turn onto Brattle, right?
Correct.
And from there, it's easy.
This is the end. Situation 13. Arriving at the party. Mike, Charles, and Bill arrive at the hotel and ask the doorman for directions.
Excuse me, but could you tell us where the Grand Ballroom is?
Of course, sir. The Grand Ballroom is located on the second floor in the rear of the hotel.
Thank you.
Mike, Charles, and Bill go up to the second floor and arrive at the entrance to the Grand Ballroom. There is a woman standing in front of the door.
Good evening, gentlemen. May I see your invitations?
Mike, you didn't tell me about any invitations.
Yeah, Mike, I thought you called Sarah and took care of it.
I did. Look, miss...
The woman cuts Mike off.
My name is not Miss, it's Barbara.
I'm sorry, Barbara. If I could just go in there and talk to my friend Sarah, I'm sure she could straighten this out.
I'm sorry, not without an invitation.
Yes, I understand. But to get our invitations, I have to go in and talk to Sarah.
Well, okay, but only you. Your friends will have to wait here until you all have invitations.
That's fine. I'll be right back.
Mike goes in, finds Sarah, and returns with three invitations.
Here you are, Barbara. Three invitations. Sorry to bother you.
No bother. I was just doing my job.
Situation 14. At the party.
You guys finally made it.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, Sarah, thanks a lot.
Don't mention it. What fun is a sorority party if no guys show up?
True, but I really appreciate you getting me in on such short notice.
Don't mention it. Any friend of Mike's is a friend of mine. Hey, that's a nice tie. Is it a clip-on?
Sarah smiles. Mike and Bill try not to laugh.
No, I tied it myself. Do you really like it?
Yeah, and the stripes make you look taller.
I'll take all the help I can get.
Come on, Charles. Sarah's my date. Let me talk to her a little. Why don't you and Bill go meet some nice girls?
I didn't come here to meet nice girls.
You devil. I know what kind of girls you like.
Then introduce me to a couple of them.
I'm sorry, Bill, but you'll just have to be content with one tonight.
Whatever you say. Where is she?
Give me a second and I'll find someone.
Okay, but only one second.
Situation 15. At a brew pub after the party. After the party, Bill goes home with his new girlfriend, while Mike and Charles go out for a beer.
Charles, how about a beer before going home?
That sounds good. I didn't meet a single girl tonight.
Sarah tried to introduce you, but you're so shy.
I know. I don't want to think about it. Let's go to a brew pub.
What's a brew pub?
Oh yeah, I forgot you were a freshman. A brew pub is a bar and restaurant where they brew their own beer. They have lots of different beers and all of them are fresh and homemade.
Sounds interesting. Is it far away?
No, it's right around the corner. Come on.
Mike and Charles go into the brew pub, sit down, and are greeted by the waitress.
Good evening. Will you be having dinner or just beer?
Just beer. What do you have?
Do you like light or dark beers?
Dark. What about you, Mike?
Me too.
For dark beers, we have a honey porter, an oatmeal stout, and special winter ale.
I'll take a stout.
Could I have the winter ale, please?
Sure. One stout and one ale coming right up.
Situation 16. The morning after. Charles and Mike both wake up late.
Hey, Charles, do you know what time it is?
Let me check. It's 12:15.
Damn, I knew we shouldn't have had those last two beers.
What? You're the one who insisted we stay until that place closed.
Yeah, but you're older than I am. You should have known better.
Okay, whatever you say. But don't yell at me next time I tell you to stop drinking.
Well, I can't promise anything, but I'll try.
By the way, don't you have class at 1 o'clock?
Class? What class?
Your sociology class, perhaps?
That's right, I forgot! How is it that you remember my schedule better than I do?
Maybe because you always yell at me if I don't? Besides, I've been here longer than you, so I'm used to a college schedule.
True. And even if I yell at you, that doesn't mean I don't appreciate all your help. I really do.
Don't mention it. I think of you as a little brother. I have a baby brother who's the same age as you.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm no baby.
Situation 17. Going for coffee.
Charles, I have time for a cup of coffee. Do you?
Are you buying?
Sure. It's the least I can do for all your babysitting.
I never said you were a baby. And yes, I'd love some hot coffee.
Good, because I know a great cafe that just opened across the street from school. It's called Someday Cafe.
Someday Cafe? That's a cool name. But is the coffee any good?
Good? It's great. I always get the double latte, but their normal coffee is tasty too.
Sounds good. Let's go.
Charles and Mike quickly get dressed and go to the cafe.
Hello, what would you like this afternoon?
I'll have a double latte, please.
And you?
Could I please have a large coffee?
Of course. That's one double latte and one large coffee, right?
Right.
How much is that?
No, I said that I was paying.
Well, that will be $4.50 for whoever is paying.
That would be me. Here's $5.
Thank you. Here is your change.
Thanks. Charles, let's go sit over by the window.
Okay. How about on that sofa?
Okay.
Situation 18. A political discussion. Charles and Mike go sit down on a sofa by the window.
What do you think about the upcoming elections?
Didn't your parents teach you not to discuss politics in the morning?
What do you mean, morning? It's already 12:40.
Yes, but I've been awake less than an hour. So, to me, it is still the morning.
Well, that's too bad, because this election is important, and I want to talk about it.
Yes, I can tell. You really aren't going to give up, are you?
Nope.
Okay, then. What is so important that you must talk about it before I finish my coffee?
It's Mayor Jameson. He's a thief, and he just can't be reelected.
Listen, Mike, politics are politics. Even if we elect a new mayor, he will turn out just the same as Jameson.
No, that's not true. Larry Strauss is running for mayor, too, and he's an honest man.
You really are a baby. You're so naive. Anyone who wants to be a politician is already dishonest.
I don't believe that. You are only 20 years old. Why are you so cynical?
I am not cynical. I'm realistic.
No, really, why are you so sure politicians are dishonest?
Well, if you must know, my father is a politician.
Really?
Yes, really.
What does he do?
He's a state senator.
How long has he been a senator?
As long as I can remember. And he's always been crooked, so don't tell me you think politicians are honest.
Look, Charles, I don't want to talk about politics.
What? You're the one who started this discussion.
I know, and now I'm ending it. I have class at 1.
Situation 19. Sociology class. Mike arrives early and takes a seat near the front.
Hey, Mike. You're never early. What's up?
I know, but I was having a terrible discussion on politics with my roommate Charles, and I just had to run away. I just can't discuss politics in the morning.
I know what you mean. I hate talking about politics. I can't believe Charles would do that.
Yeah, it's really rude, isn't it? Well, that's why I'm early.
The professor comes in and sits at a table at the front of the room.
Good afternoon. Last week, we were discussing the theory of functionalism. This theory, in brief, states that all people are in a certain socio-economic position for a reason. It further states that each of these positions serves a function and so should naturally be preserved. Although such a theory seems valid at first glance, there are many problems with it. Today, I would like to discuss some of the weak points of the theory of functionalism. One of these, for example, is that it does not explain the great difference in opportunities given to the rich as opposed to the poor. Rather, it assumes that the poor have no money because this is their natural condition. Can anyone think of any more shortcomings of functionalism?
Well, it's not only money that they don't have. If they don't have money, that also limits their chances for education, medical care, and other important services.
Excellent point. Would anyone like to add something?
I think it is all the fault of dishonest politicians.
Looking confused.
Interesting. I'm not sure I understand what you mean, but yes, many politicians are corrupt.
They sure are. Like my roommate's dad?
Situation 20. The laundromat. Class ends and Mike and Nancy leave together.
Hey, what are you doing now?
Nothing. Why?
Oh, I was just going to do my laundry and I was wondering...
Interrupting her.
I'd love to, but there's only one washing machine in our dorm, right?
Right, but I know of a cool laundromat about a block from school. How does that sound?
It sounds all right. What's so cool about this particular place?
Well, while you wash your clothes, you can do a lot of other things, too.
Other things? Like what?
Well, they have a coffee bar.
No, I just had coffee before class.
They also have a snack bar with really good pizza and sandwiches.
Aha, pizza. That's more like it.
I'm really hungry.
Good. If you come with me, I'll buy you some pizza.
It's a deal, but I should warn you, I eat a lot.
That's all right. I just got paid at work yesterday, so I have some extra money.
I wish my girlfriend had some extra money sometimes. I pay for everything.
Maybe you should think about getting a new girlfriend.
Don't say that. Sarah's a great girl.
I know. I was only joking.
Oh, good.
Situation 21. Meeting Bill. Mike and Nancy finish their laundry, and Mike leaves for home. He meets Bill on the way.
Hey, Mike, where are you going with that laundry in your hand?
What's up, Bill?
Nothing much. I just left that girl I met at the party.
But it's 3:30. Have you been together since last night?
Yep.
You dog!
No, it's not what you think. She's a really nice girl, and we just sat up and talked all night.
I thought you didn't want to meet a nice girl.
Actually, I didn't at first, but once I started talking with her, it was different.
This is not like you. What was so different?
She's intelligent and funny and...
Bill stops and thinks without saying anything.
And what?
And beautiful.
You sound like you're in love.
I think I am.
But I thought you didn't believe in love at first sight.
I didn't before last night, but now I'm not so sure.
Wow, of all of my friends, you are the last person I expected to be saying this.
I'm surprised too, but it's all true. What can I say?
You don't have to say anything. I think it's great, but I have to run. My laundry is going to get wrinkled.
What? I may be in love for the first time in my life, and you're worried about your laundry.
Sorry. Hey, why don't you come to my room and we can talk about it there?
That's a great idea. Let's go.
Situation 22. The Internet. Charles and his friend Christina are back in the dorm room using the Internet.
Christina, do you usually use Netscape Navigator or Internet Explorer when you surf the web?
Charles, I don't know anything about computers. That's why I'm here to learn from you.
All right. Well, personally, I only use Netscape. It's the best, and besides, I don't like using anything from Microsoft.
Charles, let's start at the beginning. What on earth does surfing the web mean?
I forgot. You really are a beginner. Surfing the web means exploring the World Wide Web.
That's nice. And what, may I ask, is the World Wide Web?
That's just like saying the Internet.
Okay, that's not so difficult to understand.
No, it isn't. You'll understand all this in no time.
I sure hope so. Not knowing about the Internet makes me feel so pre-modern.
Well, the Internet will have you feeling post-modern.
At this point, I'd be happy with just plain modern.
I think we can do that. Here, let's go to my homepage.
I don't want to sound dumb, but what's a homepage?
Don't worry about it, and don't ask so many questions. Just listen, watch, and learn. Soon you will understand everything.
Is it really that easy?
Yes, I'm telling you. All you have to do is be able to read and push buttons. There's nothing more to it.
That much I think even I can do.
I'm sure you can.
Situation 23. Mike and Bill arrive. Just as Charles and Christina are finishing their internet session, Mike and Bill arrive at the dorm.
Hi, you guys. Are you busy because we can go somewhere else?
No, we were just finishing.
Yeah, I have to get home for dinner anyway.
Okay, but I don't want to rush you.
No rush, we're leaving. Bye.
See you later, Mike, Bill.
Charles and Christina leave.
Okay, they're gone now. Tell me more.
There's nothing to tell. I just think I'm in love.
Love? That's ridiculous. You don't even know her.
So what? Don't you believe in love at first sight?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. But you don't, and you never have.
But I do now. People can change, you know?
I know. I guess I'm just surprised to be hearing this from you, the one who changed girlfriends every week.
Hey, don't tell her that, okay? I mean, we just met, and I don't want her to get the wrong idea.
You mean the right idea, don't you?
Come on, Mike. I'm asking you for a favor here.
Bill, you know you don't have to worry about me. I may tease you, but I'm your friend. I'll tell her nothing but good things about you.
I knew I could trust you.
Situation 24. Mike meets Mimi. Bill decides to introduce Mike to his new girlfriend, Mimi.
Mike, today's the day I want you to meet Mimi.
Great, but who is Mimi?
Mimi is my new girlfriend, you know that.
No, you told me her name was Margaret.
Well, it is, but her friends all call her Mimi.
Wow, you really are in love.
What? Because I call her Mimi?
Forget it. Let's go meet her.
Mike and Bill go outside where Mimi is waiting for them. Bill and Mimi forget Mike is there.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, honey.
Mike makes a sour face.
Excuse me, but are you going to introduce me?
Oh, sorry. Mimi, this is Mike.
It's so nice to meet you. Bill has told me so much about you.
That was fast, considering you two just met a couple of days ago. I guess there's not much to tell about me.
Oh, stop. Anyway, my name is Margaret, but you can call me Mimi.
Thank you. My name is Mike. You can call me Mike.
Stop joking around, Mike. He's a really nice guy once you get to know him.
I'm sure he is.
Let's go get some ice cream. It's hot as hell out here, and we can talk in there.
That's a great idea.
Sarcastically,
yeah, you're a genius.
This is the end of Tape B.